This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Thank you for hearing my heart in the first half of this show today. I addressed the riots. I addressed where my heart is about what we need to be doing as a culture now. And please feel free to go back and listen to that. You can hear it on podcast at just search Pointing You Home, Eric Stewart Show, and you'll find it there. I want to chat now a bit about the appraisal problems that I'm seeing in the environment of real estate right now, because it's relevant to the rise of real estate values, even in the midst of a diminishing number of home sales. Now, that sounds interesting. You've got home sales actually dropping 25% in the month of April, and the May statistics are going to come out, and they're going to show something probably pretty similar, maybe slightly better, meaning just down by 15% or something like that. Regardless, we're talking about a drop in the number of homes going to contract, and yet prices have been rising. So this rise in pricing has put pressure on appraisers, because appraisers are notorious for looking backwards at what has happened, not necessarily looking forward to what is actually happening. And we've gone through having to fight appraisals this year twice, and in both cases, in one case, getting all the way back to full price when the original appraisal was down by $90,000 below the sale price, and another one which got just $5,000 off the sale price but was down $40,000 below. We had to fight the appraisers to get the value up, and we really have to go to bat for our clients each time there is an appraisal, which requires providing not only information about what has sold in the last 6 months, but what is active and under contract now, and pointing out the overall trends. And in sometimes it means that we delay the appraisal getting done until maybe a couple of other settlements occur within a neighborhood that will help to support our value as prices have risen. I sold a home in Northwest DC earlier this year on Woodley Road. That this property sold for just under $2 million. And when I first met with the clients back in the fall, we agreed to a $1.9 million price. But by the time we got to January timeframe, we were looking at $2 million. And prices hadn't been achieved yet in for the square footage, what had not been achieved in that price yet. But based upon trends and demand, we believe that that was where the fair market would be. So when the property did go to contract at $1.97 million, and my clients needed to have the appraiser come by, we made sure that the appraiser had all of the good content and contact information for all of the different properties that it sold, and we justified the value, and it came in just fine. Now, it could have not come in fine, but it came in fine because we provided that. But as I say, we've done a good job with our appraisals of communicating with the appraiser, because there are two buyers for every property, the buyer and the bank. Buyer says, I want it, I love it, I want to live there, I'll pay you this price. The bank comes behind and says, okay, not so fast. We want to make sure that we're lending money on a home that's worth what you're willing to pay for it. And as long as it's worth what you're willing to pay for it, then we'll lend you the money accordingly at the loan to value that you're asking for. What that means is, if you take a $500,000 property and someone's putting down 10%, they're putting $50,000 down, and they're borrowing 90% or $450,000. If the property didn't appraise for $500,000 but only appraised for $480,000, then the bank would only lend 90% of $480,000. And the buyer would have to make up the difference between those two numbers, which would be about, you know, maybe $18,000. But that cash that the buyer would need to come up with, they may not have. If you're buying a $500,000 house and you're putting down 10%, you're putting down $50,000, you're borrowing $450,000. If it appraises for $480,000, the bank will only lend you 90% of that. They're only going to lend you $432,000. Therefore, you have to come up with the difference between the $480,000 and the $500,000, or the seller has to come down, or you have to agree to someplace in the middle. Okay? It's as simple as that. And as a home seller, you don't want to fight that battle. You want to win the opportunity to sell. You want both buyers, the buyer and the bank, to give the proper appraised value so that your home goes to settlement without any issues. And proper preparation is the key to success in everything in life. Being properly prepared with the just value is what happened with a sale of a property that we had under contract for $570,000 that appraised for $100,000. And the appraiser blew it. So we had to get a second appraisal, and the lender allowed for it, and it came in at $565,000. The buyer made up a couple thousand dollars between the $565,000 and the $570,000, and the seller and I made up the difference, meaning that I chipped in $500 out of my commission so that the seller really was more like a split between the $565,000 and the $570,000. I helped my seller achieve the sale by covering some of that distance out of my pocket. That was compassion in the business sense of it. Okay. So there are appraisals that can blow things up. And if you're not sure about your proper value, you want to make sure you have the good sellability of the home. That means the justification of value. I often quote Warren Buffett, the price is what you pay, the value is what you get. I justified the value of the two properties where the appraisal came in low, and we got those appraisals up and settled those sales. We had a problem recently with a termite issue in one of our listings. The seller had discovered termites in the property and had treated and had thought they had fixed whatever damage was there, but after settlement, the buyers discovered that the termite damage was much more extensive, and also that the work that the sellers had done was not done according to code or by a licensed individual. Now, that by itself, if you hire somebody to come in and remove boards and put boards in place, there's no license required for replacing boards as long as it's done correctly. But the big issue was the disclosure. The seller did not disclose that they had done the fixes because the fixes had been done and they figured it wasn't necessary to talk about it. Not so. Important to point out, you have to, on disclosure, disclose what's happened in the past, even if it's something that you have fixed. And I don't mean like your dishwasher breaks and you replace it. You have to say, I once had a dishwasher that I replaced. But you're talking termites, water problems, mold problems, or otherwise. Disclosure is key and important in life, in marriage, in friendship. It's important that we're honest and upfront with people and that we don't hide to avoid pain. The seller took the right course of action once this was discovered and realized that they were just trying to do a good job of making sure that the termites were taken care of and that it was fixed, and they thought they had done so. But there was about $18,500 worth of damage that was still necessary to address. And to my seller's credit, they owned it. They said, you know what, we will give them that credit. Let them take care of it. We didn't mean any harm by it. They weren't trying to hide something. They thought they had taken care of it, and they thought that because they took care of it, it was no longer something to disclose, and they owned it. I've been in other situations where the homeowners have not been so honest. So in the business of real estate, you cannot hide latent defects. You must disclose where there are problems that have occurred in the past. I have a home currently that we'll talk about next week at 100 Forest Avenue in Rockville, Maryland. It is the gem of Rockville. If you have ever desired to own a Victorian home, this property was built in 1890. It is absolutely gorgeous. And you got to check it out at ericstewartgroup.com. Check out the virtual tour for the property. This has a true cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R, okay? In the sense that when it was built in 1890, you know, they didn't pour concrete foundations on the floors. Everything was stone construction, the whole foundation. And guess what? In the typical cellar, you didn't try to keep water penetration out. You knew that at certain times of year, there would be a certain amount of flow of water. I've sold other homes like this. This was not out of the norm. Now, it doesn't affect the house itself, but, you know, water comes in and water goes out, and that's the way it is in a true cellar. And it's not a problem. And it sounds kind of strange to say that there's a problem with, there's water coming in, but there's no problem. Well, it's because that's how it was made to function. And that's at the time of construction, how things were built typically. So next week, I'll have the owner of that property on. We'll talk about this wonderful home, 100 Forest Avenue. Check it out at ericstewartgroup.com in the future. Oh, it's time for Stuart Rosenthal. How you doing, Stuart? Good morning.
Doing well, Eric. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you. What do you got for us today?
We have a great June issue of The Beacon out now, and we have a very nice story on how to have an effective telehealth visit. so many of us nowadays are not so keen on going into a doctor's office and sitting in the waiting room. And now that telehealth has become a really common thing and Medicare is covering telehealth visits of all sorts, it's a good idea to learn how to do that kind of thing. So we have a nice article that explains all the different aspects of it. What I thought was most important, and I didn't realize this myself, is that you can do a lot of things to help the doctor before you get on the call. You can pull together a list of all your medications and dosages. You can have a list of the three or four issues you most want to talk with the doctor about. If you have a blood pressure cuff, one of those small things, you can have that available so that you can tell the doctor your current blood pressure. Have a thermometer, you can give them your temperature. If you have a sore throat, you can come with a nice strong flashlight. You can show it down your throat and they can see through the tablet or the computer. They can have a nice good look at the inside of your throat. Amazing what they can do nowadays with technology.
Always good to hear from Stuart. Well, that's a wrap for the Eric Stuart Show. I'm Eric Stuart, and I'll see you next week.
The Eric Stuart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication, and to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about the Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766, or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.